Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone. This is the Roman Show July. This is the Roman Show July 9th, 2015. Yosdeny Cedeño, the Cuban fighter, gets inside the octagon in search of a victory versus Cody Feister. It is a very crucial period in his career, so he is definitely looking for a must-win Saturday night at the UFC 189 pay-per-view. Also, House of Fame MMA, they return in Jacksonville, their home base. They say that they bring something unique to the world of mixed martial arts. Will you find out what exactly that is as the company's president, Paris Cetos, joins us? Also, Anderson Hutchinson, who will be competing on that night, will also join us to talk about his fight against Pedro Gomez. This plus much more on The Roman Show.
Step down to the get down.
All right, whenever you're ready. You're ready.
5 seconds to the open.
Aquarius, watch that little gimbal.
We don't want you coming off in the face.
Booster. Go. Retro. Go. Vital.
Go. Five.
Guidance. Go.
Surgeon.
Go. Light.
Calm.
We're going. Light.
GNC.
We're going.
Telling you.
Go.
Control.
Go.
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 FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go. Fly.
Launch control. This is Houston. We are go for launch.
The Roman Show.
With your host, Rodolfo Roman.
Welcome, everyone. This is The Roman Show, July 9th, 2015. Today we have Yosdeny Cedeño, who gets inside the cage or inside the octagon at UFC 189. Versus Cody Feister, and these two have a heated battle because Cody has been calling Yosdeny out on social media. In fact, it's gotten so nasty that the fighters' wives and girlfriends have gotten involved. So it's getting pretty ugly. Just word of advice, this interview is in Spanish, so I'll make sure to translate afterwards and kind of give you a little synopsis of what happened with that interview. And also, Paris Cetos of House of Fame MMA takes place this weekend in Jacksonville. Will join us to talk about their uniqueness to the sport, what they do different than other companies. I got to commentate when they were here in Miami, and now they're going to have a very unique event in Jacksonville because their event is going to be actually outdoors right next to the river. So pretty cool stuff. Anderson Hutchinson, who is on that card, will also join us. I am your host, Rodolfo Roman, and joining me on the other end, George Alonso. George, what's up, man?
Not much, man. Just here enjoying another day in paradise.
Absolutely. We very hot outside. I don't know how hot it is, but it just keeps getting hotter and hotter and hotter, man.
Yeah, tell me about it. And it's not just getting hot outside, it's getting hot on the show. So it's I guess we're not safe from the high temperatures today.
That's right. And that with that hotness in the show is going to lead us into
and now it's time to give you a reality check.
George, you hit it right. You hit the nail right on the coffin because when it comes to the heat, there's a lot of heat between two legends. I'm talking about Rowdy Piper and Stone Cold Steve Austin. It turns out that Austin was upset at Rowdy Piper for having a comedian on his podcast imitating Stone Cold. Stone Cold didn't like it. He went up to podcast one where Piper's and Austin's podcast are distributed. Austin, I guess he has a bit more of a pull. Well, he convinced podcast one to pull that episode out. With that said, Piper was upset with that, and he just said, just take all of my podcasts out from podcast one. So now he is no longer on podcast one. He is on different media sources. But now we learn from another legend, Ric Flair, the Nature Boy, that Roddy Piper has lost his WWE Legends deal with the WWE. And it's all because of this whole Steve Austin ordeal. George, really, at this age, they come and battle for a podcast?
Next one, we're going to see a freaking a viral petition for Roddy Piper versus Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania, which, God forbid,
you know
will be
happen.
Awful. Oh, no, please no. Maybe a Piper's Pit at Monday Night Raw, for all we know. But no, like, seriously, you know, aren't we adults? You know, really? This sounded like something that you'll see in elementary school. Teacher, so-and-so made fun of me. You know, can you... Okay, go sit in the corner with a dunce hat. That literally... That's what it sounds like to me. You know, you got a rough redneck, okay, that has been saying for years that he's willing to kick butt. He has the most outlandish attitude, whether, you know, you talk to him in person or you see him on WWE television, and then all of a sudden you have a little fun little segment, something that was made for fun, by Roddy Piper's podcast with a comedian coming on there to impersonate Stone Cold Steve Austin, and someone just, you know, gets butthurt. Hashtag butthurt, by the way. You know, come on, Mr. Roman. I think this could have been handled in a different form.
I think so, too. And now we haven't heard 110% about this whole Legends contract being taken away from Roddy Piper. But if it is so... What does the WWE have to do with this? I know they're protecting their golden child, Stone Cold Steve Austin, especially now that he's on the 2K16 company. Cut the guy some slack. Roddy Piper has been a guy who loves to talk. Let him do what it is. Plus, that skit wasn't even that bad. It's not like Sasso, the comedian, hasn't done it before. He's always done that impersonation, and Stone Cold never had an issue with it. So what's the big deal?
Again, this is, again, what it sounds like to me, something that came right out of elementary school. You know, last time I checked, again, these two gentlemen were adults. All they had to do was confront each other, you know, and say, hey, look, I didn't like what you did there. Okay, I apologize. I'll take down the episode or I'll edit it. You know, I'm pretty sure Mr. Pike. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing that really the thing that just really gets me, you know, trying to contemplate this thing, is that here you have two people, and Stone Cold addressed the issue. He did admit that, yeah, he did tell Podcast One to take that podcast out of the way, but he's like, oh, with all due respect, I respect what he did. Then Roddy Piper also said, hey, I respect Austin too. So now it becomes that the issue has gone against Podcast One. So they all kind of cleaned their hands. But why does the WWE have to intervene by taking away the largest contract of Roddy Piper? I have nothing to do with this.
Because it seems to me like after the whole controversy of that rumors were circulating about problems with Vince McMahon and Stone Cold Steve Austin, I guess they kind of buried the hatchet, maybe, or maybe the hatchet's still there, who knows. But you know the WWE and you know Mr. McMahon. It's every time they have an issue with a past legend or a current superstar, they try to make amends any way possible. Mm-hmm. Any way possible. And look at the issue with CM Punk, for instance. When the Chicago Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup, what did the WWE
Hogan, yep.
do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's to give you an example, you know, because they're trying to still get on CM Punk's good side. You know, Vince McMahon has said it on countless interviews. Oh, we're going to support Punk's actions in the UFC. You know, could that be the same thing they're doing with Stone Cold Steve Austin?
No, we're just a way of time. But as long as Roddy Piper addresses this issue, which I am looking forward to, he's going to do it in his next episode, so tune in for that. Look, at the end of the day, they're both going to get more downloads. That we can agree to.
Because controversy sells.
Yes, sir. Now, flipping the page, John Cena and Cesaro. Yes, sir. Now, John Cena
match.
And Cesaro for the past 2 weeks have delivered amazing matches, but not only were they great matches, but at the end of the match this Monday night, Cena called in Cesaro after and just basically gave this guy a huge push, saying, listen, you give everything that you can inside this ring. People love it. Keep doing it. You haven't been given that position. Everybody knows that you're that capable of becoming that main event superstar, but for whatever it be, the universe hasn't put you there. But kudos to John Cena for doing that. It just shows to you how much of a caring man, you know, of a good teammate to have a conversation, to have a speech after this in front of everyone else. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, first off, let me backtrack this conversation a little bit. To me, Cesaro has always been a top star. And it was proven when you had over 60,000 people chant his name at WrestleMania 30 when he won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Now, it is not Cesaro's fault for never grabbing the brass ring. To me, it was always the creative writers who are holding Cesaro back. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because if you're telling me that he never grabbed the fans' attention, then please explain that to the over 60,000 crowd at WrestleMania 30. Okay? Explain to me that. And then on top of that, he's grabbed a huge popularity while teaming up with Tyson Kidd. So now going into this John Cena situation, that was just the nail in the coffin. You know, Cesaro's career keeps on growing and growing and growing. But you know what? As far as what John Cena did, if you didn't have respect for him before, you're definitely going to have respect for him now, because he's always willing to pass the torch to those, you know, who deserve it. And I think Cesaro more than deserved it for plenty of time now.
It's about darn time Cesaro gets a major push on his own. Switching to other gears, the main event of the upcoming WWE pay-per-view, Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins. Finally, we have a good feud between Seth Rollins. Yeah, I really like this feud for him. They're making Brock Lesnar like this. They've been doing a good job at his unstoppable force, breaking cars, throwing doors to fans. But by the way, when they threw the door, no one got hurt. It was just for show.
Thank God.
Although they should have been a little bit careful. But this feud is awesome. I personally like it. There's a lot of heat. It makes you really believe that Brock Lesnar has that really strong hate towards Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins thinking that he's this all magnificent, you know, the poster child of the WWE with a title. It's finally giving some significance to the title and for him, because lately I think the U.S. title has been taking all of that positive energy away from the WWE title. But this Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins feud has finally kind of brought to light the heavyweight title.
Well, again, I stand by my prediction, which you asked me a couple weeks ago on the same segment. I still believe Seth Rollins will be coming out the winner of this matchup. But don't expect, please expect something as a surprise to be the reason why Seth Rollins wins the heavyweight championship. Again, they've been teasing Dean Ambrose turning heel. They've been teasing Paul Heyman turning heel. Personally, I want to see Dean Ambrose turn heel, because I would love to see a Lunatic Fringe versus the Beast Incarnate feud.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? You think that'd be a good feud?
Yeah, I believe so. You're looking at the Lunatic Fringe, a guy who's willing to put his body through anything and everything, versus the Beast Incarnate that literally can do both to a person. So I think that would make an amazing matchup.
Very so much so. They'll both lose it, right?
Yep. They will both be used for their specialities. Our
That'd be interesting to know. Well, that's pretty much a segment here on Reality Check. If you have a topic you want to talk about, make sure you tweet it to @TheRomanShow, and we'll make sure to tackle it here on the program next week.
And now it's time to give you a Reality Check.
Hey guys, if you guys need a good stress reliever, head on over to Massages in Space. That's massagesinspace.com. Check them out. They're located in Miami, Florida. So if you're in Miami, that's a place to go for a great massage. That's massagesinspace.com. All right, welcome back on the Roman Show. And George, well, the time has come that Otaku Life, your program, is going to take place, is going to make its debut this weekend.
This weekend. Yep.
All right, excited. So what do we got lined up?
Man, we have a bunch of topics lined up. We're actually going to be talking about Florida SuperCon. We're also going to be talking about a certain topic that is very popular in the cosplay world, about bullying in cosplaying. So a lot of people bully one another about, oh, you did this cosplay wrong, you did that cosplay right, you know, oh, you're a man, you shouldn't be doing that kind of cosplay. So we're going to be talking about bullying in cosplaying and how it affects one another in that world. And of course, we're talking about guests. We're not able to get Ms. Leva Bates as our first guest, as some schedules conflicted this weekend. But we're working on a guest that's going to be soon to be revealed. And but I can guarantee you Leva Bates will be scheduled for a future episode. And of course, we are talking about the author of a comic book, Headlocked, will be on our show. Michael Kingston will be also a future guest on our show. So, but right now he's at the San Diego Comic-Con, so we couldn't have him this weekend either. So there's some major things coming to that Otaku Life.
Interesting stuff. So check them out, Otaku Life, this Saturday at what time?
It could be either at 2 or 3 o'clock, or this Sunday. We're trying to figure out from the guest 2 or 3 o'clock, but it's definitely happening this weekend.
All right, I'm totally excited with that. And now we're going to switch gear and speak to mixed martial arts because, ladies and gentlemen, mixed martial arts has a huge weekend. Starting off tonight, Invicta FC 13 Cyborg versus Van Duin. It could be the last time that we see Chris Cyborg inside the Invicta cage before maybe possibly jumping board to the UFC. And maybe finally we might get to see Cyborg versus Ronda Rousey. Hopefully, cross our fingers. And then on Saturday, we got the big UFC fight with UFC 189 Mendes versus McGregor. And then the Ultimate Fighter 21 finale, Ellenberger versus Thompson. That's July 12th on Sunday. And then, George, it continues because July 15th, UFC Fight Night 71 with Frank Mir versus Todd Duffy. That's during the week. And then we got Bellator on Friday, July 17th with Lima versus Korshkov. But guess what? It doesn't stop there, George, because on the 18th, the following weekend, we're going to have the UFC Fight Night 72 with Bisping versus Latus. And then there's also one championship, Kingdom of Warriors, and Titan FC 34 on the 18th as well. That's going to be on UFC Fight Pass, along with the UFC Fight Night 2. So, George, I don't know about you, but we got a lot of MMA this weekend or these coming days.
All I could say is a very, very good time to be a UFC fan right now. But,
yes, sir.
Or an MMA fan, to be that matter. But I have to say this. With Cyborg, do you remember when those rumors were going around that Cyborg was going to sign with WWE?
Yep.
Yeah, God forbid. I thought that's what you were about to say. I thought those rumors came back up again. But basically, you know, Cyborg versus Ronda Rousey is a dream fight that's been asked for many, many months. And let me tell you, you're not the only one that's on the bandwagon when you say, hopefully one day we get to see Cyborg versus Ronda Rousey now that Cyborg is on her way to the UFC octagon. So, God hoping, but you know, I have to be a WWE fan in this one. I really hope Ronda Rousey loses her three fights because that way, finally, we get to see Ronda Rousey in the WWE ring.
Cyborg versus Rousey in WrestleMania, since it couldn't happen inside the octagon. Imagine that.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All I know is that Ronda Rousey's first match is apparently going to be against Stephanie McMahon, and that's going to be at WrestleMania 31, if both sides agree to it, both Dana White and Vince McMahon. So, God forbid, I don't want to even see that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Well, George, but the MMA kicks off this Friday. Actually, tonight there's a weigh-in in Jacksonville with House of Fame MMA returns to the action in Jacksonville, Florida, their home base, and they're going to have an event outside on the river. We spoke to the president, Paris Saitos, who lets us know what makes him different compared to all the regional promotions. So, George, let's listen into this interview.
All right, everyone, we got a fun-filled action of MMA this weekend. It all starts, it kicks off actually right here in Florida with House of Fame July 10th. This Friday, show starts at 7 p.m. in Jacksonville. House of Fame MMA, Riverside Beatdown. On the line, we have Paris, the president of the company. How are you, Paris? Welcome to the Roman Show.
Hey, good. I'm real good. Thank you very much for having me on the show again.
Awesome. No worries, Paris. And now houseoffame.com. is where you can check out for the latest details and ticket information. Paris, this is definitely one of the top shows in Florida. Nonetheless, I had the honor of calling the shots in Spanish when you guys were down here in Miami. And I must say, it's a top-notch show. But this coming up Friday is definitely a top card. You have a great card. What can people expect this Friday?
This Friday is going to be another great show. You know, we focus a lot on our production. We focus a lot on, you know, on the fighters. But this particular show in Jacksonville, where we're partnered with the city council, is going to be at the Jacksonville Landing, which is an outdoor arena on the water. Hmm. So very cool setup. It's cage will be outside. There's a stage there, walkway, and there's several restaurants and bars, and the whole landing itself is shaped like a U, and it'll be set up like an arena that night. So it'll be definitely something that is a little bit, you know, unique. At the same time, a lot of fun, a lot of, you know, activities going on as well as far as our intermission show.
Well, that is awesome. Speaking of intermission, last time when you were here in South Florida, you had Fat Joe. Who are you going to have this time around, or are you going to have that?
We're not doing Fat Joe this time around, but what we do have is we have DJ Capone, who is a very well-known DJ, travels all over to do his thing. He's pretty much been titled as the House of Fame DJ because he's been working with us since the beginning, become an actual personal friend as well. And what he's doing is, in our first event, him and another DJ, they battled, like old-school DJ battle, off of scissorless, like 30 foot in the air. This time, he's going to be battling a drummer. So we have that, and then we also have an awesome addition to the halftime show this year, and that is Ariel Athlete, which is out of the Helson Gracie Training Facility in St. Augustine, Florida. And this is the aerial athletes that are actually spinning and flipping around and doing these things on these huge, long silks that, you know, that are like 30 feet in the sky.
Well, that's just definitely awesome. Just adds a little bit more to your bucket when you purchase the tickets. Again, houseoffame.com is the website to visit for tickets. Now, in an age where we are seeing less regional promotions, Paris, you know, what sets House of Fame apart? What's the secret to your success so far?
I think it's twofold. Before I forget, I want to also tell you an easier URL to use is www.hofmma.com.
Okay.
HOFMMA.com.
Okay.
So moving on to the what separates us from the competition, I think it's been twofold. We've had great success. We've shot onto the map internationally or nationally. And I think the first one is, if you look at it from a bird's eye perspective, is production. Production and the fact that we focus on running an event, not a fight. So we, you know, MMA is growing fast. It's becoming sociably acceptable, which it wasn't a few years back. People are getting more excited to go. But what's nice is you can get a family to go because we have, or, you know, we have different things going on, activities. Like we have a block party ahead of time, or we have an intermission not only just you show up, the fights, boom, and you leave. So an event is one thing, as far as like getting some of the local people in there. Production is key in this industry. The UFC lost millions and millions and millions of dollars. They didn't break any ground on profits until the Ultimate Fighter show came out. So what tells you is TV is everything in this industry. So we focused on that from the beginning. We've got a great, great production team out of Tampa, Fight Sports HD, run by Jared. They do an amazing job. I think I owe a lot of credit to them because they have done the promotional commercials. They've done the video. I don't know if you've seen some of the highlight videos from the fights, but, you know, it's first class.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then the second last thing is the fighters. You know, we spend a lot of time trying to take care of these fighters, matching them up properly, promoting them properly, educating them, just kind of taking that next step, which unfortunately a lot of promotions, you know, aren't doing.
Yeah, and know that, and you know, even though these guys that you have on the card are up and comers, they're good fighters and they deliver a good fight. You know, they put up all of their all. Now, and I've covered here MMA in Florida and nationwide, but I want to ask you, because fighter pay is always a question, especially for these young guys that are coming up. There's a promotion down here in South Florida, for example, that pays their fighters with tickets, and that right there in itself becomes more of a pressure, because you're training for your fight, and then you got to, you know, you got to sell these tickets. You have multiple tasks. As a fighter, you have to sell your tickets, you have to make a payment, and so forth. How do you take care of your fighters?
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head there. As a professional athlete, this is the pros, okay? So, and as we know, the sport's evolving, you can no longer be A, one-dimensional, B, a part-time competitor. If you're really going to compete at the level that we're trying to bring athletes in that are really going to the top, you have to eat, sleep, and breathe this. These guys train three times a day. Their diet's to a T. They have to sleep properly. Their supplements are done right. Their regimens are very, very strict. So the last thing they need to do is be worried about, crap, I got to go sell these tickets, otherwise the promoter's going to get mad, or I'm not going to make my money. So that, we don't ever want to pay in tickets. I mean, unless it was specially requested, we don't do that. So we work with what kind of the going rates are, because we have to be smart about the promotion. We have to be smart about, you know, how the numbers are kind of, you know, withheld through the industry with other promotions. So we always pay comparable, if not higher, and we don't pay, you know, we pay with cash.
Yeah, that's fair. You can't go wrong with that, and I think many fighters will be very happy with that response. Now, earlier on, you mentioned about national and going international. When you guys came down here to Miami, you guys were advertising that you were going to have United States versus Cuba. Something happens along the way that these fighters from Cuba cannot make it to the States. Can you let us know what happened?
Absolutely. So, you know, that was a real, you know, when we talk about this, you know, jumping off and taking a tall order, you know, I really didn't have any idea how difficult that was going to be. And I mean, from the day we announced Cuba versus USA until literally probably 3 days before weigh-ins, we fought that battle. We fought that battle with immigration. We fought that battle with the State Department. We fought that battle with a lobbying firm that we had to use, with attorneys, with letters from people in high places. At first I thought that when Obama came out and he announced that they're going to try and, you know, open up the gateways and let, you know, things kind of digress after so many, or not digress, but, you know what I'm trying to say, mm-hmm. prevail after everything that's been going on for the, you know, many, many, many years between Cuba and USA, we thought that was a great thing. We were all excited. However, what we realized immediately after that, there were so many unknown variables as to how it was going to be handled, what was going to be done, who was going to do what. It seemed like immediately nobody wanted anything to do with this. Like, I mean, nobody wanted to touch it, not even lawyers. So it was very difficult getting through to the State Department, getting responses in a timely manner, getting certain visas put in, because the application for the visa process, which is the normal process, is not necessarily the normal process anymore, because they're trying to change this and that, but they don't know exactly where they're going to go. So long story short, it kind of, you know, made it worse, I think, more difficult for us, because the things weren't solidified wanted to touch anything before, you know, this was all done. Last thing they wanted to do was bring in, you know, professional athletes and then have them, you know, take off and not, you know, not go back to Cuba. So, literally, if it wasn't 3 days, it was 2 days before weigh-ins is when we got final notice that, you know, they weren't going to allow the fighters to come.
So, with that being a hurdle there, would you try or intend to make this happen again, and will you come back to South Florida?
The first part of the question with the, you know, until there's some changes in administration and the process in which, you know, what's involved and what exactly they're going to do and not do, I would be open to trying it again, but I definitely don't want to be caught, you know, in that gray area where change is taking place and nothing solidified, because I think that backfired. As far as coming back to South Florida, absolutely. We are in talks with a nice venue down there, Seminole Hard Rock, and, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't come back down to South Florida. I mean, we're focused up on Northern Florida right now because this is where we started. This is where we're partnered with the Sports Council. And we have this fight, and then our next fight, which is October 30th, is Florida versus Georgia. Those are Florida fighters versus Georgia fighters, and that is Florida-Georgia weekend, the big Florida-Georgia football game.
Wow. Well, that right there, that's awesome, because you're there for the Florida-Georgia football game, and you can see the same thing with the MMA. So that's definitely, that's you could tackle two things at once there. That's awesome. That's a great concept that you guys are going out there, Paris. Paris, I want to thank you so much. Now, If you can't make it here in Jackson, if you can't make it here in Florida, can you watch it on GoFight TV as they did last show? Or
that is correct. It'll be on GFL as well. It should be on the website and promoted as of now.
Wonderful, Paris. I want to thank you so very much, the president of House of Fame MMA. You can check out HOFMMA.com for ticket information. Paris, it's a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much, Rob. I'll talk to you soon.
Will do. Bueno, Danny, entonces peleas el próximo sábado en la gran cartelera de UFC 189, que tenía que tener Conor McGregor contra Jose Aldo, ahora es Conor McGregor contra Chad Mendes. ¿Cómo te sientes para esta pelea? No solo porque vas a pelear, pero también que la cartelera es bien popular, bastante gente va a viajar a ver esta pelea, y es también el International Weekend, ¿no? Gente de todo el mundo va a ir a ver la UFC. ¿Cómo te sientes sobre esto?
Exacto. Bueno, primero que todo me siento contento y feliz. ¿Tú me entiendes? Este es el deporte, esto fue lo que yo quise, y bueno, gracias a Dios estoy haciendo las cosas bien y me siento contento conmigo mismo, con mi equipo, con mi familia. So, ¿qué te puedo decir? Que voy a estar en la cartelera, aunque debute de primero o de segundo, no importa, voy a estar en la cartelera más grande del mundo, es como un Mayweather pateado. So, me considero una estrella, y gracias a Dios por ponerme ahí.
Bueno, y ahora te enfrentas contra Cody Fester, que la vez pasada hizo su debut, él perdió la última vez. Tú también vienes de una derrota en octubre. Primero, ¿por qué fue que no has peleado desde octubre? ¿Qué pasó ahí?
Bueno, no, realmente estaba un poquito lesionado y eso, pero me fui recuperando ahí poco a poco. So, fui matando las cosas malas. So, ya, realmente hay veces que no te puedo decir mucho la verdad por aquí. No justifico derrota ni nada, solo te puedo decir que esta vez voy por la victoria. Yo no soy de justificar la victoria nunca, gane como se gane, son ganadas. Las únicas que justifican son las derrotas. So, por aquí no te puedo decir realmente, porque voy realmente lo que quisiera decirte, no puedo decírtelo en este momento. So, esperaré ganar para decírtelo después.
Ahora, ¿tú peleaste la última vez lesionado?
Bueno, realmente pasaron muchas cosas, Raúl. So, no pienso, ¿tú me entiendes? Voy a ganar para poderte explicar lo que pasó en la otra pelea, cómo se saca un atleta de paso antes que pase la pelea. Te voy a explicar todo eso después que termine con este hombre que se ha llenado la boca de gusano, de hablar cosas improfesionalmente, ¿tú me entiendes? Está poniendo a su mujer a echar a fajar prácticamente a la mía. Pero realmente nosotros somos profesionales, no estoy de acuerdo con que ofenda, ni aunque diga, ni aunque me ponga en internet con colorete, ni nada de esas cosas. Lo mío es hacer mi trabajo, compadre, lo mío es a ganar. Ya yo no me voy a llenar más la boca de decir, lo más importante es participar en el evento. Sí, lo más importante es participar en el evento, pero también es participar y ganar. ¿Tú me entiendes? Yo estoy aquí para ganar, yo no estoy aquí para participar solamente. Como ven, ya Joel Romero sacó la cara una vez más por nosotros, y yo no voy a ser el único cubano de los poquitos que somos que tampoco va a sacar la cara. Quiero estar al mismo nivel que están todos mis compañeros, y me siento muy feliz también por la victoria y voy a terminar igualito como terminó Joel. Lo más fundamental, llevarme la victoria, que nos dieron esto para nada, compadre, para llamarte y después contarte todo lo que pasa atrás de backstage. De un peleador, ¿tú me entiendes? Uh-huh. Por eso te digo que no justifico, las derrotas no se justifican. Perdí, ya. Cuando gane te voy a decir, compadre, perdí, pero mira todas las cosas que pasé prácticamente. Te voy a ser sincero, ¿tú me entiendes? Ahora lo más importante es ir por mi victoria, y eso es lo que voy a hacer, ir por mi victoria, contento y feliz, hacer lo que mi equipo trabajó conmigo. Y nada, bro, es mi favorito, y le voy a callar la boquita a Cody Fitchy, que se ha llenado la boca de decir varias barbaridades como un novato al fin, ¿me entiendes?
¿Y eso lo ha dicho a través de las redes sociales?
A través de las redes sociales, yo soy poco de hablar en las redes sociales, ¿tú me entiendes? Sí. Yo sé que es bueno, pero aquí algunos triunfan por hablar, otros triunfan por estar callados. Diego Machida triunfó en su carrera por estar callado y ser humilde como eso. Yo sigo los mismos pasos prácticamente, ser humilde, porque los canapicas somos humildes. ¿Tú me entiendes? Aunque el primer luchador que conozco que es muy humilde, que es Joel Romero, y lo admiro mucho, ¿tú me entiendes? Lo aprecio mucho como me fortalece. Y me estaría fuerte cuando veo a él o a Héctor Lombard que ganan, vaya, catastróficamente, tú sabes, un nocao eso. ¿Tú me entiendes? Me quitan. Bro, si ellos lo pueden hacer, como lo puedo hacer yo, si ellos son, yo soy igual que él.
¿Consideras tú a Lioto y a Joel como unas inspiraciones, una motivación para ti?
Sí, igual que a Héctor Lomba, los tres los considero para mí, porque son humildes, o digas o hables, no vas a ser mejor que nadie. Hay gente que le pega como a Nick Díaz, hay gente que le pega como a Pacquiao. Yo pienso que a mí no me pega esa batería. Soy como Joel, humilde, y lo mío es hacer mi trabajo.
Y ahora, ¿qué me puedes decir de este Cody? ¿Qué es lo que tiene, algo que te impresiona de él, donde él es muy peligroso?
Bueno, no, realmente yo... Él es un hombre igual que yo, él es un profesional igual que yo. Lo que sea un poquito inmaduro, y a los niños hay que enseñar, no regalan, ellos pueden hacer la misma cosa. ¿Tú me entiendes? Yo aspecto, darle nada. Y parte profesionalismo, a pesar que viene de una derrota, como hablando cosas que no tiene que hablar, ¿tú me entiendes? Se comporta en las redes sociales como un niño que es principiante, ¿tú me entiendes? Por lo menos no puede ganar la boca y decir que ya yo gané en inglés. Sí, he perdido, no hay problema, cualquiera pierde, o sea, aquí de la derrota lo aprende, ¿tú me entiendes? Lo que sí, si mira el estrés, yo creo que nunca he perdido dos seguidas, y esta no va a ser la derrota para mí, eso va a ser la victoria. Y lo que sí, le voy a mandar un mensaje bien cortico a Cody Fitch, ojalá lo pueda ver y me lo traduzco en esta parte en inglés, sí. Que esta va a ser la última vez que vacile bien toda la ropa en Reebok, de Reebok, que le van a dar ahora el próximo martes, que la vacile.
Sí, porque al final de cuentas, yo, Dennis, si él pierde, está perjudicándose, que la UFC lo puede cortar.
Este es el mensaje que le voy a mandar, que vacile bien la ropa, que se la ponga bien, que se tire bastante fotos, porque ese va a ser el último evento que va a participar. Yo me voy a encargar de eso y no, bro, que matarme ahí.
Bueno, Bueno, entonces, ¿qué le puede decir a la gente para que sintonice este sábado cuando te enfrentes contra este Cody Fister? ¿Qué le puede prometer a la gente?
Que no se preocupe, mi Cuba, que cada vez que yo hablo creo que cumplo mi palabra y esta vez no va a ser la próxima vez. Contra Hierro Sánchez cumplí mi palabra y como lo prometí contra Ryan Terroche cumplí mi palabra y pienso que cada vez que hablo algo cumplo, cada vez que hablo algo importante, algo seguro, lo digo con tanta seguridad que lo que tú dices de tu boca se hace realidad, como yo no pienso que me pongo cerrado.
Y ahora está en los Black Zillions, ¿cómo está el entrenamiento ahí? Sé que los Black Zillions, ahora que salió el programa The Ultimate Fighter en Fox Sports 1, se ha conocido el gimnasio a través de mundialmente, ¿no?
Exactamente, ¿verdad? Ahí entra mucha gente buena, Rob, mucha gente buena. Es un equipo realmente, no hay división de nada. No hay división, como ves que tratan a los que ganan más dinero, los tratan de una forma, a los que ganan menos, ¿no? No, ahí es un equipo y le doy las gracias a todos, a Glenn, a Dios Santiago, a Henry, a profesor de Luz. Equipo y está todo uno trabaja contento ahí. So, ¿qué te puedo decir de eso? Que me siento feliz de estar ahí en el mejor equipo. Tú te haces bueno entre los grandes y si yo soy capaz de hacer sparring contra los mejores del mundo ahí, la pelea no es nada, la pelea es más con un entrenamiento, ya, se terminó.
Bueno, te quiero dar las gracias por hablar y sintonizar y te felicito y buena suerte este sábado.
Gracias.
Cuando te enfrentas contra Corey.
Gracias, la suerte es para los que no entrenan, ¿no? Así que tú me das la suerte para esa gente, para los que no entrenan. Ya yo estoy listo, ya yo estoy listo. Te vas a ver cositas nuevas, vas a ver cosas nuevas. Creo que posiblemente por primera vez un peleador acorralado, que decir, esta es la única salida que tengo, no puedo echar para atrás, tengo que partir para adelante y esta es la única puerta que hay. So, después que abra esta puerta, las cosas se me van a abrir, se me van a venir mejor.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we return back here. That was the interview there with Yosteni Cedeño, who fights this weekend. And George, basically in translation, if I were to just go ahead from Spanish to English, basically he's sending him a message that, hey, you know, you better enjoy it because it might be your last inside the octagon. Because it's gotten pretty personal. They've brought in women, their women, in on social media to attack each other. That's kind of unprofessional, don't you think?
When it's a fight, it should be between the two men, like, or the two fighters or two professionals per se. Why are you getting your women into this?
They want to make it a little bit juicier, I guess. It always sells a little bit more, right?
Yeah, well, I did say at the beginning of the show that controversy sells, but at the same time, you don't want to get your family involved because then you're kind of not turning this from personal to a, professional to a personal vendetta. So it could become a little worse than what anyone wants out of this. You know, yes, you want the money out of this fight. Yes, you want the attention, but at the same time, you don't want your family to get hurt.
You sure don't, but they're definitely making it very personal in this fight. Now, George, before we finish off the program, we got one interview with Anderson Hutchinson. He fights also part of the House of Fame MMA fight card, which takes place tomorrow night. Let's take a listen on what he plans to do to his opponent.
All right, guys, we now heard from Paris, the president of HOF. Now we have one of the headline fighters, Anderson Hutchinson, who fights Pedro Gomez. Anderson, I got an opportunity to see him fight live here in South Florida. And Anderson, I have to tell you, man, I love the way you fight. It's very impressive, very, very unorthodox, very unusual. It confuses your opponent, so kudos for that.
Thank you, bro.
Anderson, coming up to this fight now with Pedro Gomez, I want to first go back a little bit here because that fight you had here, I'll be honest, everybody in the crowd thought that you won that fight, but how did you bounce back from that result that happened not too long ago here and to get back on the saddle and look for another victory come this Friday?
Well, that was my first loss, and it was tough. I don't like that feeling. Really, all I changed was my mindset. I think I came in too emotional in the fight, but I'm just training as hard as ever, and I'm ready for this next one.
So what can you tell me about Pedro Gomez? What are some of the things that you have that has caught your attention?
I can't really tell you anything. I mean, I studied his fights a little bit, but I'm mostly just focusing on myself.
And when you say that you said you focus a little bit on your mental game, what would you say? You're very emotional. What are you going to do in this fight that you didn't do in the last fight?
Not fight too emotionally. I let other bullshit affect me in this fight, and I'm not going to let other stuff affect me on this fight. Yeah. I'm more mentally ready.
Now, I took note again, I guess, your impressive way of fighting. What do you credit that fighting style? Because you definitely could confuse your opponent.
I don't know. That's just how I fight.
Do you think the trainers or anything, do you have the is it something that they adjusted to you to the way you do it? I mean, how did this come about?
Well, I'm a better fighter because of the people that are around me, my training partners and my coach, for sure. But I've been doing this for a long time right now, and I'm just trying to be the best I can be and unpredictable as I can be, and just the best I can be.
And Anderson, speaking about that, you've been doing this for a long time. Tell me a little bit about your history and how you got involved with mixed martial arts.
Well, let's see, after high school, I was always an athlete in high school, and I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, and then I found jiu-jitsu. And through jiu-jitsu, I did jiu-jitsu for a few years, and then eventually I tried the fighting, and here I am today.
Now, you're 4-1. How many fights, did you have any fights amateur-wise? What was the record? And most of the fights were in Florida or elsewhere?
Yes, sir. I've had overall 17 fights, so I'm overall 16-1. 11 amateurs, I'm sorry, and then... 5 pro.
And then most of these amateur fights took place in Florida?
Yes, sir. In yes, sir. Yeah, my amateurs took all in Florida, and then I had 1 pro in the Caribbean.
Gotcha. So now we have here House of Fame. It's going to be in Jacksonville, not too far from where you are from. How does it feel to have that home crowd backing you up during this fight? You know, you fought in Miami. You are in enemy territory because your opponent was from here. He lives here. So how does this change in your fight game? Does it give you that extra motivation?
I don't care where I fight, to be honest with you. As long as I have a fight lined up, I'm good and I'm ready.
Wonderful. I want to thank you so much for your time, my man. Where can people follow you as far as social media so they can keep up with you?
On Facebook and Instagram. And I got an athlete page. Just type in my name and you can find me.
Wonderful. Anderson, I want to thank you so much for taking your time. Check out Hutchinson versus Pedro Gomez this weekend. HOFMMA.com is the website to find out ticket information. Check it out also on GoFight Live TV. You can catch it there if you can make it to Jacksonville, Florida. Thanks so much, Anderson. Good luck. And I look forward to catching you in action once again.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, my man.
If you need an affordable website, the place to go is GoOnline.com. That's GoOnline.com. Check them out. Serious. Let them know that the Roman Show sent you. All right, to finish off the show, George, it's been an excellent program today with 3 great guests. And to finally put the nail in the coffin again, once a reminder, this weekend, George will make his return to the airwaves with his own show, That Otaku Life, airing this weekend. I'm going to make sure I tune in, George. I'm sure it's going to be a good one.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun, a little controversy due to the bullying. You know, a lot of people might agree, might not agree. But, you know, that's the whole point, just to get the point across from our standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking forward to it. Everyone tune in this weekend right here on blogtalkradio.com/Roman Show Media. And you can listen to That Otaku Life this weekend right here on The Roman Show. Looking forward to it, man, and good luck. And I know you're going to have a lot of fun. With that said, we catch you next week here in the program. We are going to welcome a fighter who will be fighting from the eastern side of the United States, who is flying all the way to Scotland. Jimmy Rivera joins us next week as he takes on Marcus Brimage next Saturday, July 18th. And that big fight card hanging out and taking place in Glasgow, Scotland. Michael Bisping and Talis Lettys will be main eventing that card, but we'll be having Jimmy Rivera, who will be in the undercard right here on The Roman Show. Well, thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch you next week on the program. Everyone have a great, great, great weekend. Enjoy all the mixed martial arts that you can. And next week, we'll be talking WWE Battleground. We got a lot to talk about. Talk to you soon. Remember, send in those topics. What's that, George?
And, of course, I just want to close it off by saying stay real to all my fans of Reality Check.
Yes, sir. And remember, tweet us those topics at The Roman Show, and we'll make sure to cover it right here on the program. Thanks for joining us, everyone.